And now it's time for your financial destination with Roger Hamilton, with strategies to enhance or improve your retirement income.
And good morning. I'm Roger Hamilton, and welcome to the Financial Destination Show, where here we discuss all things financial. And again, normally over the next 15 minutes, we'll talk about strategies to improve your investments and to enhance your retirement income. We also talk about other topics as well. And we've talked about, again, in the past, mortgages and tax disability credits. Our topic the last couple of weeks, we had a popular show last week with Blair McKinnon from Heritage Law talking about wills. We had a lot of emails and calls on that, so we're going to do a secondary show on that. We have Blair back again today. We're going to talk about wills and estates and executors and problems that families can run into, and maybe even how to contest a will. So once again, Blair, welcome back.
Happy to be back, Roger.
Okay, so let's go over a few things. So again, for all you listeners out there, some free and legal advice. Again, Heritage Law Office, located Ochterlony Street. It's been there since, like, 1986, and reflects the name of an office that was a Heritage building built back in 1871. And again, an all-law provide legal service and everything. We're talking today about wills and estates, and wills and how to contest it. But first off, a question that came up about the role of an executor. So we talked about wills and the importance of it. So now every will needs an executor. Who should be your executor?
The executor, Roger, should be somebody that you trust to do the right thing for you. They don't have to be an accountant. They don't have to be a brain surgeon. You need somebody whom you can trust. And
complete your wishes.
Who look after your wishes, okay. Yes.
Now, that person, though, they have a responsibility, so it's quite a responsibility to be an executor.
It's huge, yes. A lot of people will ask lawyers to be executors, and I've never been a fan of being an executor because you're just wearing too many hats.
Correct.
So I always encourage people, usually it's a relative or a family friend who will agree to be the executor. If you want a corporate executor, most trust companies now would want you to have assets probably of at least $750,000 before they would agree to do that. Some may accept less, but my experience is with the larger trust companies, some were even as high as $1 million before they would agree to be your executor. I think that if you have somebody, a relative that you feel comfortable with, and you can name two executors, which is probably a good idea, because then they both can feed off each other and make a decision together, and it provides an additional protection for you to have the two executors working together.
But why would someone, what little bit I know about it, why would someone take on that responsibility? That's a big job.
Usually out of a sense of obligation, and, you know, some people think it's an honor. It's an honor, but it's a lot of work. It's not complicated and it's not difficult, but it can be a lot of work.
Time-consuming. Now, is the executor liable for any mistakes that are made?
That's a good question, because a lot of people come to me and say, look, there's more debt than there are assets. I'm the executor. Am I responsible for the debts? And no, you're not.
Okay.
But you are responsible if you distributed the assets before you were satisfied that the debts were paid. So what we do on behalf of the executors, we advertise the estate in the Royal Gazette for 6 months. And anyone who thinks they have a claim, they come forward and file a claim. If they don't, they're statute barred. However, the caveat to all of that is the government and CRA. If you're not satisfied that all of the taxes are paid and you distribute the assets, then you as the executor are personally liable for those debts. So that's why we always encourage people to go and get a clearance certificate from CRA before they do the final distribution.
And how long does that take?
Usually, good question with government these days, who knows, but
yes.
Usually 3 to 4 months.
So without COVID, it's normally 3 or 4 months?
I would say 3 to 4 months,
okay.
Yes.
So really it's a 6-month waiting period until you're really sure what's left over.
Yeah, but you can still do a partial distribution in the meantime. If you're satisfied that the maximum tax liability may be, for example, $10,000, and you're sitting on assets of $300,000 with three beneficiaries, you could do a partial distribution, give them each, say, $75,000 in advance.
Yes.
So you don't need to hold all of the assets until the very end.
Right.
If you don't like the beneficiaries, then you hold them all to the end.
So it can be a personal grudge.
Yes. Legally, you don't have to, but, you know, practically, it's probably not a good idea.
So executor has a bit of power on this.
Yes. Oh, they do, yes. Yeah, they're driving the bus.
So, okay, yes. No soup for you today.
No.
Okay, you can wait. All right, so we're going to come back in a second. So the other thing, too, and I do talk with clients, too, about their segregated funds, by having seg funds in their investments bypass the probate. So we do know what situations of people, you know, when we all pass away and things are tied up for a long time, And we don't know what your wishes were when you're alive. It's even harder to do when you're not. So obviously with the segregated funds, money can be passed on quite quickly. So we're going to be back. We're going to take a quick break. And we're going to come back in a second because one of the big questions was, how do we contest a will? And we're going to set up a scenario in a minute. We're going to contest a will and see what happens. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Welcome to your Financial Destination Show, an educational investment series hosted by Roger Hamilton, featuring strategies to enhance your retirement income. During his 10 years as a financial advisor, Roger has provided sound advice on how to improve personal investments to hundreds of people, many of whom are Seaside FM listeners. To discuss how to improve your investments, email Roger at roger@yourfinancialdestination.ca. Visit yourfinancialdestination.ca or call 902-499-5879.
Knowing which investments that outperform and that are suitable to your goals and needs can be overwhelming. Understanding the advantages of growth segregated funds and or market-linked indexes might have over balanced mutual funds could benefit your investments now and for estate planning later on. Diversifying part of your portfolio in private equity funds could have a significant impact on your retirement income on your Financial Destination Show. We'll discuss these strategies and more to enhance your retirement income.
And we're back. So now we're going to contest a will here with Blair McKinnon from Heritage Law. A scenario, and I'm going to create another scenario like last week, a little bit of my creative imagination once again. So let's set this up this way. So I'm going to play the part of Bobby. I'm Bobby. I'm in my mid-40s. I have two sisters. We're all in our 40s. Three kids. And our beloved mother has died a few years ago. She was 70. She died a few years back. And Dad, now he's in his late 70s. And Mom and Dad had done well in business. They have a lot of money, $1 million at least. And something that my sisters and myself, we kind of knew we had our eyes on. We're going to inherit that someday. Dad had kind of promised us this money, of course. He runs a big business. We were never part of his business. We were doing something different. We were never part of his really his life. But now he has $1 million. But unfortunately for us, we think Dad marries a second time. A younger woman, a much younger woman. Younger than all of us. Maybe a mail order bride, I don't know. She's younger than us, and she's an 8-year-old son from her previous marriage. And they get married 2 years ago, and Dad runs off. Dad just died. Dad has died, and suddenly after a year, 2 years after his marriage, we have the reading of the will, and everything is left to her and her son. And my sisters and I, we are shocked. Now, you were Dad's lawyer, Blair. You were his lawyer for 30 years. But he went to a different lawyer last year, 2 years ago. He went to her lawyer, had a new will done, and took us out of it. We're not happy. We come see you. This isn't right. We're shocked. We want to contest the will. No way. What happens?
First of all, because I had represented him in the past, I probably would not be the best person to represent them in court, so I would be referring them to a litigation lawyer.
Okay.
The scenario that you paint is probably the most difficult scenario that lawyers encounter in doing wills, trying to balance off the new wife and the children and her children and the children they have together. You know, the family tree looks like a plate of spaghetti. It's crazy. But in that particular scenario, under the Testator's Family Maintenance Act, the kids would have a statutory right to contest the will. The Testator's Family Maintenance Act, we always felt that it was there to protect dependent children and dependent spouses. And over the years, it was expanded to include adult children who really hadn't been properly provided for by the parent, and they felt that there was a moral obligation and a financial obligation to provide. We could do a whole show on there's a recent case that talked about the right of someone to be able to leave the property to whoever they wanted, and that the portion of the Testator's Family Maintenance Act was unconstitutional because it interfered with the right to divest the property the way you wanted to divest it. That case is now making its way through the courts, and it's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds. But suffice it to say that those kids would want to contest the will and file an application with the court under the Testator's Family Maintenance Act to seek what they consider to be their fair share.
Now, they're all in their mid-40s and working. They're really not dependent on Dad's money anymore.
No.
But they were his kids for the first 45 years of their life.
Yes.
So they would have a half a case to...
They would, yes. If I could give you... Yeah. I had a case a number of years ago where they were out of the country and it was a really difficult... They were in another continent, as a matter of fact. And the mother and the children really had to escape because the guy just never looked after them and never provided any support over the years. They were adults, and he moved back to this country. He passed and left them out of the will, and we contested it. I was a bit sorry because they caved and paid us out without having it litigated. But I think they recognized that there was an obligation there. Like, it was almost what the court would call righting an old wrong. In other words, well, you were wrong. But the law is really murky in that area right now.
Well, let me give you the other situation. So I'll be the dad. Now I'm in my late 70s.
Yes.
And I have money. And you've been my lawyer and my friend for 35 years. And I have remarried a younger woman, and I don't care. And she's 32, and her son's 8. And my kids, I've given them everything I can for 45 years. And my son, they're always looking for money. I've given them everything. My two daughters, I've given them everything I can, and their two husbands they're married to are deadbeats, and I don't really like them. And I'm tired. They're 45. They can make their own break from now on. I'm done paying their way. I have money. It's unfortunate my wife passed away. I have a new woman in my life and her son who just adores me. So I've come to you with the will that I had before, and I'm going to tell you, Blair, before I die, I want this changed. Everything. I've given my kids enough. They're ungrateful. Never even came to my new wedding. You know the story. I come to you. I want the will changed so that they can't get anything. I've given them enough. My new wife's going to get everything the day I die, which unfortunately happened to be 6 months later. You're now my lawyer. How do you advise me, being that older man?
The first thing I'm going to tell you, Roger, is that you cannot draft a will that can't be contested. Everything is contested. You have no idea how many people will say, you draft me a will that can't be contested. Well, I can't control that.
Really?
That's,
okay.
That's going to be contested.
Good point.
What I would probably recommend is that he would leave a certain amount to those children just to hopefully that would pacify them enough to make them go away. How much? Some people say, well, if I leave them a dollar in my will, then they can't contest it. Not true.
Okay.
If I leave them $5,000, $10,000, the amount is really not significant. It's really in relation to how much of an asset that you have or how much your estate is worth. But there's no dollar amount that would prevent them from contesting the will.
So if I had $1 million and they thought they were going to get $300,000, whatever, each, here's $25,000 each of you. Be quiet. I've given you enough. And my new wife can move back to Peru with her son, whatever she wants to do. I'm gone and takes the other $900,000. They can contest that, saying that's not going to happen.
Yes. And in those cases, we would try to put a provision in to say that they would only get that inheritance if they accepted it in lieu of any other claim that they were entitled to. That may or may not be enough. It depends on the personality you're dealing with and how greedy they are.
Well, we've all seen families, and if you have three kids, one of them is not going to be happy.
Yes. The way to avoid that, if I was advising him, is that if you're the financial advisor, I would say to him, you put everything as a joint, and then it goes to her by right of survivorship and doesn't come through your will, so there's nothing in your estate to contest because it's all gone by right of survivorship.
Well, if he has $1 million in segregated funds and changes the beneficiary to her,
that's not an estate asset.
End of story.
Yeah, so it doesn't. So the kids, there's nothing to contest in that case.
It's irrevocable beneficiary. I've changed it, which I can do on my money, and that's it. And that's, again, the point of the segregated funds. Not only do you want the returns, it's the estate planning you're doing.
That's right. Yes, yeah. And that way you know they're not. There's really less for them to contest by doing it that way. In my experience with people who are in love with a second relationship, I always encourage them before they put their toothbrush in the medicine cabinet to get a cohabitation or a prenup agreement. But sometimes they will.
Yes.
In most cases, they'll say no. I don't want that, but I always encourage them.
I like that idea. If you got $1 million before you started, make sure you still have it afterwards.
That's right. You should always, in a second relationship, have a prenup or a marriage contract. Yes.
Yep.
Because you never know when it might go south.
Well, that's just it. I love you, but.
But.
That's right.
Yes.
All right. That's excellent. So that's great. We're going to wrap it up again this morning. Another great show. So that's Blair McKinnon of Heritage Law Firm, 92 Octoloni Street in Dartmouth. The phone number is 902-465-6669. Listeners can also reach you by email.
BlairM@heritagelaw.ca.
Again, this show will be on my website, yourfinancialdestination.ca. Any questions, you can call me. This is Roger Hamilton. You can call me at 902-499-5879. Thank you for listening. Until next time, stay safe and stay invested.